today concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is our topic, which would be very obvious, I think, to all of us here today. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Now, originally, I wanted to preach all 58 verses this morning, all right? I changed my mind, all right, for your sake and for mine. So, but we will be looking at a lot of these verses here today, and what a great chapter it is. Well, let's just read this one verse today, and we'll look at this introduction. You'll see where we're going here in just a moment. It says here in verse number 22, I just can't start. I want to start with verse 20, all right? Here it says in verse 20, it says, "Now, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You know, isn't it amazing how just one man, just one person can change the outlook, the culture, can change the whole entire scope and history of a country, of a nation, of even an entire people and language. It's amazing. I mean, it's happened very recently in modern cultures. I mean, if you think about not too long ago, there was a man by the name of Nelson Mandela who changed the whole entire culture of the country of South Africa. Changed the whole culture. He's given that credit. I'm sure Nelson Mandela didn't do it all by himself. I'm sure there was other people behind him, just like there is with any great leader you find oftentimes. But one person, John Calvin changed the whole entire country of Switzerland against Roman Catholicism. Think about that. Think about that. It's just amazing when you think about the impact of one person. Martin Luther King is oftentimes given credit for changing the race situations in our country. Abraham Lincoln is given credit for uniting the country back together after the Civil War. George Washington, credit for the father of America. Even people like, when you think of something, even as disdainful and as distasteful as the name Adolf Hitler, changed the whole entire country of Germany. One person is given credit for these things. One person, one man, one thing. All these men were controversial. All these people would say, some would say they were great men, some would say they were not so great men. But the point is this, some would say bad, some would say they were good, but the point is this, is that these people, not just these, but many others, men and women have been in the history of time, in the scope of time, have been used to change people, have been used to change nations, languages, and entire cultures. Many of you right now are changed, have been changed by one person. Many of you right now have got something maybe in your purse or in your pocket right now that he changed your whole, he changed this whole entire of America. His name was Steve Jobs. You got an iPhone, an iPad at home, don't you? You got something with the word iPad and a little bitten piece of fruit out of it, don't you? Somewhere, somehow, some way. People are amazing. One person. In the verse that we see today, in verse number 22, we find that two men are given credit for not just changing an entire country, but according to the scriptures, not just changing literally a people or a place or a tongue or a language, but literally changing the course and the scope of history of all people, of all nations, of all time. Adam, well, according to the Bible, he gave us death. Thanks, Adam, right? He gave us death. Whether you believe that or not, the point is still made very clear and very plain. We're all, 10 out of 10 people, it says, are still going to die. Still going to happen. So you can believe it was Adam or not, but the point is still the same. Everybody's still going to die. You can't escape it. There's no fountain of youth. Christopher Columbus didn't find it when he sailed the ocean blue, did he? But in this passage here, we find that not only did Adam give to us death, but Jesus gave to us life. He gave to us the resurrection, as we're going to see. And maybe you came here expecting to hear a message about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will speak of that. But you know what? There's another resurrection day coming for the saints, for those that are in Christ. But not only for the saints, but for all peoples of all times. Because Christ's resurrection power is so powerful that it has not only changed just one person or two, it not only changed a group of people in the early histories of the church, not just in the first or second century, but rather his resurrection is so powerful that it's changed people from all nations, all tongues, all tribes, all kindreds of all people of all times. It's an amazing power, an amazing thing that we must and cannot deny that it did. And even Christ's resurrection is so impactful and so wonderful that it should even have an impact upon my daily life. Paul says, I die daily so that he may live through Christ's power and through his resurrection. And I want us to see this morning that Christ's resurrection reaches a lot further than an empty tomb. It reaches all the way to eternity. It reaches forever and forevermore. Number one, I want us to see this, the resurrection and the gospel. Look here back in verse number 1 through 4. He says, now, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel. I'm going to tell you the gospel, he says in verse number 1, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. What are you saved by? The logic is simple. By the gospel. If you keep in memory what I have preached, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. No fancy words, but that's the gospel, pure and simple. No hard-to-understand words, no long-drawn-out essays, just simply put, this is the gospel, he says. What is it? First of all, Christ died for our sins. That's it. Simply put, men are sinners. People are sinners. Women are sinners. People have sinned. They have done wrong. All of us have done wrong. All of us have committed errors. All of us have committed transgressions. Every single one of us. We've lied, we've stole, we've cheated, we've committed adultery, we've extorted, we've done something that was wrong in our lifetime, and therefore it says Christ died for our sins. If we didn't have sins, then there would be no reason for Christ to die. There'd be no reason for the gospel. But Christ did die. And so therefore men are sinners, people are sinners, people are lost, people are dying, people are hurting at this very hour. But Christ died for those sins. And understand this, the Bible says very clear and very plain that he died for them. He didn't fall asleep. He wasn't just simply put in a grave and there made to rest for a little while. Some people believe that he was taken off a cross and he was kind of wooed to sleep and he slept there for a little while. My friend, the Bible says that he died. He died. He died there on the cross for you and for me. He died on the cross. He suffered the beatings of the Romans. He suffered the cruel and angry mock trial that the Jews gave to him. Do you realize that Jesus went into trial? It was actually an illegal trial by Jewish standards. And they went into an illegal Jewish trial around the time of midnight. And that trial lasted all the way into the wee hours of the morning, maybe 5, 6 in the morning. Can you imagine being answered and questioned for that long? Just over and over and over and over and over again. False witness, false witness, false witness. People hitting you, people spitting on you, people mocking at you. We want a fair trial here in America, don't we? A speedy trial. You got a speedy trial, all right. But it wasn't one that was right, wasn't one that was legal, wasn't one that was good. He suffered the vile criticisms of the thieves. He was beaten by the Roman centurions, by the Roman guards. And then, after all that was done, what happened to him? He was put upon a cross, nailed with both hands through his hands and through his feet, and then a crown of thorns placed upon his head, blood sprinkled out of his body. My friend, this man died for our sins and for my sins and for your sins. And for what? What did he do wrong? There was nothing. There was no accusation that was ever brought against him. Nothing that was ever said about him that could be proven. that he had done wrong, that he had broken Roman law. Then why did he die? He died for our sins. He didn't die for himself. He died for you and he died for me. But the gospel is made even more simple because not only did Christ die for our sins, but he says Christ was buried. He was placed in a borrowed tomb, borrowed because he wouldn't have to need it for very long, right? He was gone not too long later, just 3 days later, he was gone. They placed Roman guards around the tomb so nobody would break in to steal away Jesus' body. And he stayed there 3 days. He was placed in that borrowed tomb. There was two guards that were standing guard of that tomb so nobody could break in. Nobody could get him out of there. Do you think that these Roman guards are going to risk their lives for some person that they don't even know about? Why risk their lives for this guy? But what happened? He came out of that tomb because the Bible says very simply and very plainly, he says in verse number 4 again, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He rose again on the third and glorious day. The angel came and rolled the stone away. Why did he roll the stone away? So that Jesus could get out? No, my friend, so that others could get in. Jesus was already gone by the time the stone was rolled away. There was an angel sitting there waiting for him, waiting for the people to come, saying, basically, where you been? I've been waiting for you. What's going on? Why you seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Why are you coming here looking for him? He's not here. He's gone. He's risen. He's gone. He's gone away by now. You've missed him. He's not here. But not only did the ladies notice that he was not there, but Peter and John did and the apostles did, but then Jesus appeared to the ladies, and then Jesus appeared to two men on the road to Emmaus, and then Jesus appeared to the apostles, and then Jesus appeared to 500 witnesses, it even says in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse number 6, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain at this present, but some are fallen asleep. He was seen of all of these things. He was seen of these people. And guess what the majority of these people happened to these people? You know what happened to most of them? They were killed for their faith. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to die for a lie. If it's a lie that Christ didn't rise from the dead, then I'd say, you know what? I'm good. I'll keep my head. I'll keep my body. I don't want to be thrown and eaten by the lions. I'm all right with that. I don't want to get right. But if Christ be risen from the dead, then these people, they died for what they believe. Not just what they believe, but what they actually saw to happen. That he rose from the dead. And if he didn't rise from the dead, why didn't the Jews produce his body and say, here's his body? Christianity would have been over. It's right here. What are y'all talking about? He's right here. Why not? I'll tell you why, because the Bible teaches us, the scriptures teaches us over and over and over and over and over and over it is that Christ rose from the dead the third day. And if you won't believe the scriptures, then you won't believe. But that's the gospel. Jesus was crucified for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. Believest thou this? Do you believe these things? Have you truly been saved? I like what he says in verse number 2. He says, what I have preached unto you. He says, have you believed? Are you saved? Unless you have believed in vain. There are some that have believed in vain. There are some that have not truly taken the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to heart. They have an outward form of godliness, but inwardly they deny the power thereof. They look good on the outside. They have a good religion. Let's put that in quotation marks, air quotes, right? They have a good religion, but they have no relationship. And you see, the thing here at Scenic Hills Baptist Church that we try to preach and we always try to say is this, is that we try to make Christ known and we want to know him. We want to know him. You see, because Christianity, true Christianity, true believers are not going to just simply coming to church, dressing well, or doing this thing on Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday morning, or giving something in the offering plate. That's not their religion. That's not what their, you know what their religion, you know what their life is about? It's not about the plate. It's not about the dress. It's not about the church building. It's not about those things. It's all about Christ. That's what it is. It's about him. It's about his relationship with me. The fact that I'm a sinner and that God loved me so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for me. And even for you. Why? Because he loved you. It's the only explanation that I can give. Because he loved us. And he died for us. But he didn't stay dead. Amen? That's what we're celebrating today. He rose again from the dead. And because he rose, the Bible even says to us that it future seals our resurrection one day. Look right here going here a little bit further down to verse number 11. He says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. And then he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And there are still people that say that today. There's no resurrection. That's foolishness. That's mysticalness. That's craziness. It's not logical. Of course it's not logical. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's something that must be spiritually understood. Some speak, well, once you die, that's it. Some say, don't worry about it. When it's happened, it's going to happen. You can't do nothing about it. Now, I can't make you believe anything. That's exactly right. But I'll say of those people, they're sorely mistaken, because the Bible teaches us very clearly that Christ has risen from the dead, and because of his resurrection, guess what? It assures my resurrection one day. You say, well, what if Christ did not rise from the dead? Then Paul gives us a list of negatives here, does he not? And we're in verse number 12, where he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I'll say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? The first thing is this, if there's no resurrection, then Christ's not risen. And if Christ's not risen, my friend, there's a lot of problems that we have. Number one, our preaching is vain. What I'm doing right now is worthless, it's empty, it's no good, it's of no value. Close the doors, forget everything, turn this thing into a honky-tonk, and let's make some money and have a good time. I'm serious. It sounds funny when coming from a preacher up here at the pulpit, but hey, it's the truth. It's the truth. He says it later on. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow lest we die. Hey, if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain. I've got a vain occupation. I might as well quit my job and go find something else. Go sell used cars or something. If Christ be not risen, then not the preaching is not only vain, but the whole Christian faith from now to all the way back 2,000 years ago is vain. All those people that have lived for Christ for the last 2,000 years, it's vain, it's worthless, it's empty, it's of no count, it's of no value. Well, makes good history. It might make good history, but I'll tell you what, it's all vain history. It's all worthless history. It's of no good because it means nothing. They died for nothing and they've been living for nothing. Our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. Hey, if Christ be not risen, you might as well tar and feather me because I've been a false witness too. You might as well tar and feather me and kick me out to the curb because I've been a false witness, the Bible says there. If Christ be not risen, he says, our faith is vain. And he says in verse number 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he raised not, if so be that Christ, if the dead rise not. I mean, he just goes on and on with this thing. But then he says, if Christ be not risen, he tells us in verse number 17 that ye be not your faith is vain. He says, and ye are yet in your sins. How much even more sore to the subject does it get? It just, the knife keeps on digging and further and further. If Christ isn't risen, my friend, then guess what? You're all hopeless. And you're all still stuck in your sins. And you have no hope whatsoever of ever being forgiven of your sins. Because Christ is not risen, he's the only one that could have done it. If the Bible said, if it's true, if what it says is true, if Christ's resurrection is our only hope for a better day, and our only hope that we'll be raised one day again. And if Christ be not risen, he says finally there in verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If Christ be not risen from the dead, and I'll tell you what, my friend, you have no hope. We are the most miserable company of sore, wretched losers in the whole entire world. It's a pretty hard statement to swallow sometimes when you think about it. But you got to love it when God butts in. Because it says in verse number 20, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. I've put you all in a mopey mood. Now let me raise your spirits again. You understand that Christ is risen from the dead. These are just all if-then statements, conditional statements. If this be the case, then this is the case. If this is the case, then this is the case. But the case is this. The case is not true. Christ is risen from the dead. I've proved that. I've tried to show you from the Scriptures. I've let you know that the Scriptures have told us that He has risen, and that over and over the Bible has prophesied that He would risen, and He did rise. I love going to a funeral of those that have passed on that are believers. Oftentimes at that funeral, they'll read a passage of Scripture out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And in that passage, it talks about those that are dead in Christ Jesus shall rise again. And he says, with these words, comfort one another. And I wonder, my friend, if we were to come to your funeral, would we be able to read those words? I'll give you a very logical argument at the very beginning. We're all going to die. We're all going to have a funeral, or as they have today, memorial services, I guess. We're all going to have one maybe one day. What's it going to be like then? Will there be any comfort? Will there be any help that anybody can give? I'll tell you what, whenever I die one day, I hope they'll be able to read First Thessalonians chapter 4, not for anything that I've done, not for anything of who I am, not because they'll say, well, Matthew was a good person, he did these good things, and he was a good preacher of the Word of God, and he did this, and he did that, blah, 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 and he was a member of this society and that society and all these kinds of things. You know what? I hope it says right at the top of my obituary that this man was a believer in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what I want at the top of the obituary. I don't even want my name. I want the name of Jesus Christ front and center, because that's what our life is to be about, that are Christians, that are saved, that are born again believers. It's not about what I did and what I didn't do and what all these things that people plus all these accolades and build them all up on themselves. And it's all about me, 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 me. My friend, life ain't about you. Life is about Jesus. Because He's the one that died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. And it's His resurrection that assures my resurrection. And the only reason that I can have hope that when I die one day that I'll meet the Lord in the air is because of this very fact that my Lord has died and that He rose again also. But something very interesting caught my eye with verse number 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. It was just a short three-letter word that caught my attention. It is the word all. All. And the phrase is not very conditional whatsoever. He's not talking about just believers, my friend, here. Because believers are not the only people that die. Everybody dies. And he says here that Christ's resurrection power is so powerful that it will not only raise believers, but it will raise unbelievers. All. Could I have you turn to John chapter 5? In verse number 28. You see, God is going to be good to us all. Some might think that he's just talking to believers. But I believe he's speaking very broadly, very generally. He's speaking to those that are even sinners. And he's speaking to them and he's letting them know that you will be risen too. That you shall be made alive. That there's an eternal existence that waits for you too. You will meet your Maker. You will meet your Lord. You will meet your God. You say, I don't call Him God. I don't call Him Lord now. You will. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. You say, I'll never bow. Oh, you'll bow. I can't make you bow. And nor did I want to. The false bowing of the knee, even as Constantine did back then whenever he made his soldiers be baptized in the name of Christ, because if they did not, he would kill them, is false conversion, my friend. Amen. True conversion, true belief is out of the heart, and it spills out of the mouth. When God has changed your heart, It sure shows in your mouth and your life. You'll testify of him. Are you there at John chapter 5 and verse number 27? Look what Jesus says about the resurrections. Jesus. We forget the words of Jesus, don't we, many times? There's a lot of authorities out there that put a lot of blame on Paul on these things, don't they? A lot of people out there, a lot of commentaries, a lot of people, a lot of theologians, they don't like Paul, but they like Jesus. But hear what our Lord has to say. And he hath given him, he's speaking of himself, really. You could go back and study that more in verse number 25 and 26, but nonetheless it says, and given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of the damnation. People don't like this kind of preaching anymore because it turns people away. It's not loving, especially too strong for maybe an Easter Sunday message, right? But the fact is, the rain remains the same. If I had up here before us today some facts and I was disclosing them and not allowing you to have those facts, then you would think that I was not a very good presenter of what I was trying to give to you today. We think of people that are scam artists, don't we, that are on the TV. Hey, if you'll buy into this real estate right here, come down to this seminar and pay $99.99 and you're going to be rich. Hey, anybody that believes those crazy signs out there that says, come call this number and you could be making $20,000 at home today. You're a fool, right? They're telling you something behind. They're not telling you the whole truth. They're disclosing some information. They're hiding something back. They're being malicious in their intent. And I'm not trying to be malicious this morning. I'm trying to lay it all out before you and let you consider the whole matter. And the whole matter is this, is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that the believers in Christ Jesus, they will be raised up to glory one day, but also those that are unbelievers will be raised again one day. And though they have never confessed the name of Christ upon this earth, they will confess it one day in glory. And at that confession time, they will confess to him. It is called the resurrection of the damnation. They that have done evil. What is the evil? I believe the evil is very easily understood as those that have never believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to do good in the scriptures is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here this morning to preach to you words of life. Words of authority that God has raised him up from the dead. And then he brought some of them to life and he brings some to damnation. What does that look like? Well, the Bible is not without a word on this. Because he tells us in Revelation 20, he says in verse number 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. A lot sounds a lot like a resurrection, doesn't it? And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, my friend, is still in the Word of God. But what's so very interesting is what I've just read to you is so similar to what we just read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 24, where he says, then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. He's going to put down all those great people. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. This is Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, exactly. cross-referencing back and forth, telling us that Jesus Christ, He rose from the dead. He will raise the believer. He will raise the unbeliever. But the unbeliever will be raised one day for not a judgment that will be permitted into the kingdom of God, but rather a judgment in which you will be put under the kingdom of God and cast into the lake of fire one day. He will judge the living and the dead. Because all who have died will be raised to judgment. And so you have a very important question for you this morning. The question is not, am I a sinner? That's been proven. That's been said. Not will I die? Obvious. Not did Christ die on the cross? That's a very obvious fact. Not did he rise again? That's been proven in the scriptures. Ask yourself this. What resurrection will I be a part of? The resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation? And it's only by God's grace today, by God's grace today, that any of us will have a part of the resurrection of life. But that's what He's offering to us today. He's telling us, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He said it back in verse number 1, where He told them, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, by which also you are saved. Have you received this message? Have you been saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you simply just meandering around? Are you simply just saying, well, I'm a good person. Well, I've done some good things. Well, I don't really believe in those kinds of things. I don't believe in the scriptures. I don't believe in those. Well, my friend, then the Bible concludes that you're not underneath the resurrection of life, but the resurrection of damnation. That's not what Matthew Cox preaches. That's what the Bible preaches. And I've tried to lay that out before you the best I can this morning. And so we must ask ourselves what Jesus said, even to Martha and herself, when after his good friend Lazarus had died in John chapter number 11, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Do you believe? Oh, then wonderful. You can be assured of the resurrection one day, that you'll meet your Lord in the air and have be forever in heaven with Him. Have you not believed? Then Jesus is offering an invitation to you today to say, come. Come, come all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your weary soul. It's been laden down with sin and trial and all the wonderful, horrible things that this world has to offer. My friend, Christ is here to answer that call. He's telling you now to come. Believest thou this? Consider these things. Salvation is all by this one man, the man, Christ Jesus. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for all your blessings and goodness in our life. I want to tell you, Lord, that I love you, Lord. And said, if nothing than me, that, Lord, I can never be assured that, Lord, one day I'll be raised from the dead. But Lord, I give you all the glory for it. You deserve it all. And I know that you still offer the same gift of life to all those that are here today. And Lord, I pray that you please will help each and every one of us that have understood this message today, that maybe there's one in here today that, Father, does not know Christ as Savior. They've never believed. Would it be today that, God, you would show grace and mercy to their heart and life? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.